Mom, I texted you a few days ago, and I don't know if you saw it or processed it, but I think my wisdom teeth are coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Why hasn't that happened until now?
No, I was the same way. I was 19.
Bro, 18. I never got my 12-year-old molars.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're 20.
I got my wisdom teeth out in college, and you would technically be in college.
Well, I think it's my wisdom teeth. It's not coming in through the bottom. It's coming in through like the side. Oh. Like that can't be good. And I've noticed when I floss, floss that back tooth, it hurts because it's being pushed in. So now I'm like, is all that time with braces gonna be reversed? Like I'm getting a little stressed. So Mom, can you make me a dentist appointment?
We got you covered.
Roll the intro music. How about that?
Cool. Let's do it.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos.
I think I have another one too.
Two?
On the right bottom side, but I'm not sure. It's very hard to see.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. We are so glad you're joining Wholesome Chaos this lovely day. And we're going to have a great time. We're talking about all things dental and all things accidental and all things wonderful about life and the pursuit of contribution and happiness and family. I don't know.
Wow,
whatever else we think about.
A lot to talk about.
And probably at some point we'll be talking about Blythe and pickleball. And because we generally do. But I hope you're having an awesome day. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the podcast and you can be first to notified as soon as we drop one every single week.
Well, he sounds like a professional radio announcer, doesn't he?
I'm feeling like I'm channeling that today a little bit.
I know.
This is going to be kind of a very smooth dad podcast episode.
So he's going to fall asleep is what he's saying.
So I don't think that's what Mom and I were saying at all about the vibes we were getting. They weren't smooth.
Coming in
dad
at number
vibes.
12 on today's top 40.
Did you ever listen to like a top 40,
Man,
Maggie?
That's funny.
Your generation have like
we have like where they count down the top tracks?
Yeah.
There's some radio stations that are like that. I kind of did that when I guest hosted on Verified One. It was like all the top hits. I just got to like pick my favorites to play. That was cool. I kind of was a radio announcer.
You did
for
a great
day.
Job too. I remember you playing that for me in the car and
thank
and
you.
I got to hear
that was so funny.
Your announcement. It was really good.
Cause you didn't know.
It was stressful because that whole time, I think I was going on at like 4 and then 7 and I had already done it. It wasn't live. And so I would just forget about it. And then I would have set an alarm or something on my phone for a minute before, and I'd see it. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I gotta get to my car. Everybody come to my car right now. Don't
I always thought that
questions.
Would be a really fun job to do live. And I when I was younger, I went to my friend Joel Taylor was a college disc jockey. And I went with him to work one day and he did the show. And I was always really into technical things as well, especially when it came to music and audio and the way they would work the different tracks. They were all in different boxes. They were taped.
Yeah.
But the tapes would slide in and then the machines would advance. He did it all himself. You know, he selected all the songs, he rolled all the tracks, played all the commercials. And I was like, man, that looks like so much fun.
It's impressive.
I actually had the opportunity to do that. I wish I had. Because my best friend at the time, her husband was a disc jockey in Augusta, Georgia. And he was like one of the main guys. And he said, yeah, I'll put you on the radio. You do great. And I was like, what, really? And he said, yeah. So, but it was going to have to be a commitment, obviously. It's like I had to be in Augusta, Georgia every weekend. And that was, how far is Augusta? Like over 2 hour drive,
oh,
right?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
So it's like, oh my God, do I want to work? And I worked a full-time job and drove, you know, an hour each way into Atlanta. So as much as I would have liked to have done it, it's the only way I was going to get in because, you know, who was I, you know, and I was going to school for film production or whatever, but I regret not doing that.
I was going to ask
that.
If you ever regretted.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have done it.
It's always, you know, you say yes to those opportunities and once you're into it, you can always get out of it to some extent, but you get those experiences. I got so many experiences and learn so much by just taking jobs. Cause you know, but my jobs, I'd never really know what I was getting into. It was always a unique event of some kind when I was working my way through college.
Well, that's a,
they were all performance related. They were all, they were all doing the things I normally do.
Right.
But you never know who you're working with. You never know what you're getting into. You just go for it.
Yeah. And I started doing the murder mysteries within that, that year anyway. So yeah.
Say yes to opportunities. That's the first lesson of the podcast.
Unless you don't want to. Also, exactly. Learn how to say
unless
no
they're
for
creepy
yourself.
People asking you.
And sometimes you need to think about stuff and you say maybe.
And you know what that is?
What is that, Mags?
At the end of the day, all those things, because there's extreme opposites or it just extremes on each side of the say yes to everything. They're all opportunities. And also the don't do what you don't want to do. It solely comes down to discernment.
You know
you
what it is?
Discern. Like that's such an incredible skill to have in life.
You know, there's a tension. I think about it like a tension. When you get two ideas that are both true, that means there's like a line that connects them. Like there's a pull. There's a pull between those two ideas. And life is about tension between things that are true, things that are good, things that are not good, whatever it may be that's pulling you in certain directions. And you get to decide where you're going to be on that little, on that, in that tension and where you kind of place your focus at that moment. Mm-hmm. But you got to realize what you're giving up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, you know, I've always kind of had a hard time with absolutes and everything like that, but for opportunities.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just because I see so many different sides of everything where I struggle to say, yes, this is an absolute truth because everything for the most part is situational in my mind. But in regards to opportunities, I feel like I push opportunities really hard sometimes to an extent where sometimes they just don't matter. Okay. Let me explain this better. In a example, this week I was asked by a friend to help them with a video that they were going to do. And I didn't really have time in my day, but I realized I could cancel something that was just a me thing that like I was excited about, but didn't rely on anyone else so I could help them. And so I was like, okay, yes, technically I do have time. Okay, I'll do it. And so I did it. And then they ended up having to refilm. And so like 2 days later or whatever, they're like, hey, can you help again? But if not, no worries. And like they called me and they could just instantly tell I was stressed. And they literally, thankfully, they looked at me and they're like, say no. Like, it's okay. Like, you do not have to do this right now. And like, that was the first time where it had clicked in a long time where I was like, I don't have to do every single thing. And so I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to pass on this. Like, good luck. I'm sorry I can't help you, but I can't. And I encountered the exact same thing yesterday. I was filming another diving video and like I did it. I dived a bunch and then I was like, okay, keep going until it was perfect. And I started to notice I was getting tired and therefore getting more sloppy and therefore getting worse. And I was like, but I can't end on like not my best. I can't end on not my best. And then it hit me and I was like, no, I can, because I know if I keep pushing myself, they're not going to get better and it's going to be dangerous and it's going to be reckless. And I was like, right. All right, so I'm leaving. You know what I mean?
Did you say that to wrap it up? Something like that?
I'm still editing the video at the moment and I can't decide if that's how I want to end or if I just want to end on a positive.
I was just saying like, yeah, I didn't know if like while you were there, you kind of like gave yourself an outro like, well, that's it for today, folks. And that kind of thing at the end.
That's a great message though, Maggie, and a very important one, especially in situations where you can get hurt. And, years ago when we were skiing, I had to say, as much as I really wanted to keep skiing, we had hours left of opportunity to ski. I said, I have to stop now or I'm going to get hurt and it's not going to be worth it and it's not going to be fun. And so, you have to recognize that when knowing your limits and knowing when you're getting into an area that could put you in danger.
The worst times I've ever been hurt was after I had already mentally decided I was done. And then decided to go back and try it one more time.
Yeah.
And then because your brain kind of switches all of that equipment down and then you have to ramp it back up again. No, but before we go on, I wanted to say one more thing about opportunities because I really love what you said, Maggie, but The thing about saying yes or no to opportunities that hit me when we were just talking now is at the time that you're given the opportunity is that's the moment where you know the least about what you're being asked to do. You don't really understand it. You've just heard it. You don't investigate it. And so until you say yes and get into it, it could be so much greater than what you ever even thought it would be. You could have some preconception about this is no big deal, but you get into it and you're like, wow, this is amazing. Or vice versa. Like you can get into it and realize, this isn't really what I want to do. So that might be another reason why exploring opportunities, not necessarily saying yes to everything, but just kind of like exploring where they will take you is a generally maybe a good way to go through life. You get more done and you meet more people and you have more experiences.
You know, also I was thinking about that person that you said just say no. That what a selfless thing to say.
Oh yeah.
What an awesome person.
That. Yeah. And so much of the time things feel like life, not life or death, but just like so drastically important in life when they're just not. Like, yes, things are important. And if I said no to every single opportunity for the next month, not good. But I can say no to one thing that's going to be better for me to rest and to do what I was originally planning to than, you know, saying yes to everything. So.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think it's things feel so time sensitive.
You know,
everybody's schedule. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And you know me, I can't stand to be overscheduled. That's something Eddie and I have in common very much. Neither one of us like to be overscheduled, but your dad likes every minute of his day to be
a commitment.
Movement.
That is becoming a big part of our lives. And it's part of our schedule and it's every day. And it has to do with going to the dog park.
Oh, I could have guessed that.
Because, I mean, it's like this routine and we took our golf course, our dog park attention and relationships kind of to a new level this week.
Yes, we did.
Because we had a cookout. We had a food.
We had a picnic.
Picnic ceremony where everybody, like a potluck thing, you brought your stuff to the park. We set it all outside on benches. We all came in and we played with our dogs. And then we left the dogs all in the park all by themselves.
They were so confused.
Actually, and we all went just outside to the tables. And we sat at the tables and we had food and it was like, the dogs just, they didn't know what to do. But once they realized we were right there, they were like, okay, we'll just sit here and watch you guys or something. And then when we finally came back, they were like really relieved.
It was hilarious. I have a little bit of video. I haven't even looked at it, but actually Spencer, you know how he scratches at a door and a door's closed? He was scratching at the fence. I'm like, dude, aww, it's not going to work. And so I snuck over and gave each of our dogs a chip. She said, I love you. We literally three feet away from them, but they were just, it was like, you could see the dogs just going like.
Luke was there.
What is going on?
No, he was not.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, Luke was there along with his parents.
Yeah.
They came and they hung out.
And their dog.
And their dog. And yeah.
Did he say hi?
Of course. We talked for a long while. We hung out. We had food together.
Luke is a boy I went to high school with who my parents are now friends with his mom because they see each other at the dog park every single day.
And now his dad and him.
Yep. It's all good.
Yeah, it was so fun, Maggie. So yeah, when you're home, you're going to come to the dog park and hang with our dog park
You've
friends.
Got to. There was another girl I met there today who gave me the old, can I ask you a question? I think I might follow your daughter on TikTok. Is that right? And I was like, yep, you do. And in other news, we have deer in our backyard.
Oh, that's fun.
We have a deer park in our backyard.
We have a deer park. Deer randomly wander through our neighborhood and our woods behind our house.
That's awesome.
That's
so fun.
They could be in your front yard when you come home.
Did the dogs ever see them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Simon just, because we were sitting outside on the deck and just talking, and all of a sudden your dad goes like, hey, if you lean over a little, you can see a deer. Oh, there's another one and another one. And I'm like, he's looking at him coming from the left and I'm seeing the little tiny, tiny ones, like Spencer size, maybe a little bigger than Spencer, coming up from the woods. And there was like seven of them, right?
Sure.
It was so fun.
They were little too. We've been watching the little baby deer get older.
Yeah.
You're cute.
They're awesome.
They live on the golf course.
Hey, and I didn't tell you, but like we got the security cameras put up this past weekend. And so I got a notification this morning, like 5:30 or 6 in the morning. I'm like, oh, hey, it looks like a little raccoon. I'm like, wait a second. That's not a raccoon tail. That's a Spencer tail. I just saw the end of him walk by into a bush.
I'd let him out to do his business in the morning. So you were going to tell me a story.
Yeah. So something fun I had this week is I went to a screening for a new Amazon Prime movie. It's called Catherine Called Birdie. And I went with Blythe. Oh my gosh, I guess I did talk about her this podcast.
Check. Ding, 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 ding.
Blythe and I went, and it's so funny because we called each other. We FaceTimed before to pick out what we were wearing so we'd like match vibe-wise. And we ended up wearing practically the exact same thing.
Oh my gosh.
We fully knew. We saw each other. And it was kind of like a, oh yeah, I like that. Let me go copy it exactly real quick. And so we were both in white sweaters and brown pants, I believe. And it was such a surreal experience because right before it took place at the Grove rooftop, which you guys have been to the Grove. It was that kind of big Avalon type thing, like a, you know, there's the Barnes & Noble, all the shops, the AMC, it's really pretty. Very cool. So it was on the rooftop of the Grove. It was really, really nice. Cool. But Blythe and I needed to stop and get something that I actually needed to wear to the event before. And so we ran into a store at the Grove beforehand, and Blythe and I were both in like 4-inch heels just because we decided to go for it. And we were all put together, bags, makeup, and we were in a hurry. Like we had a sense of urgency with how we walked. And we walked into Aritzia, which is like this expensive store, like kind of dumb expensive, guys. Not dumb expensive. Sorry. I think Aritzia is great. It is a little out of my price range. And so I just needed a little top to go underneath the sweater I was wearing. And I thought I could get that from Aritzia. And so we walk in and immediately everyone working there like looks at us and we're walking through. People are coming up to us. They're like, I love your outfit. Can I help you with something? And we were like, oh yeah, we're just looking for something. All good. Thank you. Like, thank you. That's so nice. We walk a few more steps. The next person, they're like, you guys look so incredible. Like what are you doing? Like literally people were voicing this to us. And so we got a shirt that I went to go try on. We go to the dressing rooms. There's a little bit of a line. They go, oh, the penthouse is open. The penthouse changing room,
what?
Which is like the bigger one.
Oh my gosh.
They take us back to it. And like, I try it on, I come out and there's two girls working there. And they asked both Blythe and I where we got our sweaters from. And we told them and they just go, where did you come from? Like, where are you going right now? What are you doing? And so we explained, we're like, we're going to a screening. We just had to grab something. And they were like, oh my gosh, well, have a great rest of your day. And we walked out of that Aritzia after I bought a $98 small white shirt.
That's interesting. What great customer service.
I know, but Blythe and I just looked at each other and we were like, why don't we dress like this and walk with a sense of urgency everywhere we go? I've never been treated this kindly in an Aritzia in my life.
Okay, like, no, now you need to go back, but you need to be dressed completely different, hobo.
I have. I usually go in there in my sweats. Yeah, I've been in Aritzias before. The shirt wasn't $98. It was $88, but with tax, it was like $94. But it is a very pretty shirt, guys. It is a very nice shirt, and I will be wearing it a ton.
Better.
So, in the story, you guys now have the picture. We're fully clothed. We have everything we need. We're on our way to the event.
In 4-inch heels.
Yes, in 4-inch heels, which...
Gotcha. I can totally picture
this. That's an important factor for later.
Okay.
Getty Images was there, which is like you take pictures and they end up on Getty with the little watermark across it.
Sure, sure.
And the past few events I've been at, I've dodged red carpets just because I don't like it. Like, I don't like the stress attention. Of it. I don't like the fact that those pictures go on the internet and I have no control over it. But I figured this is something I need to get over.
And plus, so, you're dressed for it.
Yeah. And so Blythe and I both agreed. We were like, we're going to do it. We're going to do Getty. It's going to be fine. So they give you like your little whatever. You go over. They had three photographers for press there. You pose for each one of them. Before they take your picture, they write your name on a whiteboard and they take a picture of that first. So when they upload it on Getty, it gets uploaded, right? And it was fine. It was good. Blythe sent like a video back home to her parents just because I took a video of her getting her photo taken by Getty, and her parents were like, what the heck is your life? like, what is this? And when we checked Getty later, they actually uploaded my photos and Blythe's photos under my name, most likely because we're dressed the exact same.
Oh no!
I thought you're the same person. So that was fun. Now we're at the That's event. Funny. Yeah?
That's a great punchline. And it's not even the end of the story. I'm amazed.
It just keeps going.
Holy cow. I can only anticipate where it's going from here. Go ahead.
We just got to the event. This is like a medieval movie. And so there's people like dressed up in medieval things and walking around. It was a whole big event. And I was like, I want something to drink. And so I have my under 21 wristband on because I'm 20. And I decided I really wanted a Shirley Temple. And so I walked up to the bar with Blythe and we're waiting in line where there's one person ahead of us. And this woman who works there walks up to me and she goes, hey. And instantly, like, my heart dropped. I was like, I'm about to get yelled at for being in the bar. Like, I don't want to cause issues. I don't want to do anything. And so, like, immediately I go into defense mode and I'm like, hi, I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to drink. I'm trying to get a Shirley Temple. I promise. Like, I know I have the wristband on. I'm not trying to get alcohol. I'm just trying to get a Shirley Temple. Like, fully jumped into, like, please don't kick me
you
out.
You wrote a whole story. Like, this is what, this is obviously what this is about right now.
I'm about to get ejected from this.
That's yeah, so I was like terrified, and she looked at me and she goes, oh, you want a Shirley Temple? And I was like, yes, ma'am. And she was like, yeah, that's fine. And then there was kind of a silence, and she goes, I was just coming up to tell you I'm a fan. I really like your videos, and I think you and your dad are really funny. And I was like, oh. That's so kind of you. And she goes, you want a Shirley Temple? I'll go get you one. And she like goes to the front of the line. And I was like, no, I can wait in line. Like, I'm totally fine with that. She totally got Blythe and I Shirley Temples. And I was like, that is so kind of you. I really thought you were about to kick me out of this event for trying to take alcohol when I just wanted a Shirley Temple. And this is like, guys, this is like 5 minutes of being to this event.
Oh my goodness.
And so
How
I was
funny.
Yeah, that was a
now
really
she's got
really
a story
funny.
To tell too. That's
yeah,
hilarious.
Exactly. She was so nice though. Lovely, lovely woman. And so we walk around for a bit. The screening starts. I'd have to look it up. The woman who wrote it, she was there and everyone was really surprised by it.
What was the name of the film?
Catherine Called Birdie. Let's see. I can look it up super fast because everyone was so surprised by who wrote it. It is Lena Dunham. Do you guys know who that is?
Sounds familiar.
No.
Lena Dunham.
What else has she done?
Lena Dunham. I'm not entirely sure. And I don't really want to take a ton of time to go for it real quick. But
that's cool. But did you like the movie?
So the interesting thing about screenings with 150 other people is it's really hard to pay attention.
That makes sense, yes.
And so it was also really cold. And so we got kind of distracted. And so I didn't fully grasp the movie. I'm sure it was great. But I also saw some friends there. And so we were catching up. There was good food. It was a great time. And turns out those 4-inch heels caught up to me. And I was like dripping blood on the back of my ankles. It was bad,
no.
Guys.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And so then I went home.
Nice.
And that's the end of that story.
That is a great story.
I feel like I should applaud.
Except for the blood on the floor.
Yeah. We can left that part out next time. But congratulations. That sounds amazing. And I'm looking forward to having some similar fun times with you when we are next together.
Yes, I'm so excited for that.
If you're okay with it, I kind of want to segue into a heavier topic again. And this is something I was thinking about that I thought might be worthy of a podcast discussion. And it's basically the idea of like, what is the point of doing anything? Because I notice that more and more this idea is prevalent in around people and thinking, you know, I just don't feel like getting out there, getting motivated, or you get an idea of the vast amount of information that's out there in the world. And it's like, you know, there's no way I could actually learn this complete thing. And so why bother? Like, why bother even learning any of it? It's almost like a defeatist attitude, nihilistic maybe, that, you know, what's the point? Everything, life is meaningless.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know people in your life who kind of tend to act this way at times? And I know that's not your normal circle of friends, but I get the sense that this might be an issue for a lot of people, that they really feel defeated.
Yeah, honestly, no, I don't really have many friends or any friends that I can think of at the moment with that mindset at the moment.
I think it's an important question that we all need to think about, because, you know, like when you realize your life's it's short in terms of like what you can actually accomplish, and eventually we're all going to be forgotten. And it's like, well, why did our lives even matter? It's like, what is the point of it? If there will always be someone better than you at any particular thing you want to do, then why even bother? Like, why even try to improve? And just how would you answer
that? Because that's not the point. The point isn't to be better than somebody else. The point is to live the life that you've been given to the best of your ability, and get as much joy and love as you can. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for me, it obviously relates so directly back to faith and identity. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like, I believe that I was designed for a specific person to be exactly who I am, to that I have a purpose that nobody else does, just like you have a purpose that nobody else does. And you listening to this have a purpose that nobody else does, because you were designed so specifically and so intentionally that, like, your purpose on this earth is nobody else's. And so,
yes,
I think, yeah, my faith is a ginormous part of, thankfully, why I don't struggle with that nihilistic kind of perspective, just because I'm so aware of how small I am in the grand scheme of things, but I'm also so aware of how valuable I am in the grand scheme of things, because there's never going to be another me. And so what's the Mother Teresa quote, that it's not like the amount of things you do.
We can't all do great things, but we can do small things with great love.
That's the one. Where it's like, I'm not going to have the mindset of, oh, I need to do this thing on earth that's going to outlive me and last as long as possible so people remember my name. It's, I'm going to live my life the best of my ability. And the things that I do have impact directly in my life and in those around me's life. And that's enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would also say, like, you know, that's the experience of being alive. The experience of being alive is the experience of learning and trying and doing and experiencing things and looking closely at things and asking questions and staying curious. And so, yeah, if your time on this planet is finite, it's limited, like, and it's going to go by quickly. Everybody says it does. And so why not, like, saturate that experience with as much engagement as possible, even though it all, you know, eventually gets undone, even though you can never really make a dent in like some huge aspect. Or when you look at the political landscape and you're like, oh my gosh, I can never control world events. It's like, well, maybe not directly, maybe something you're doing though And the way that you're thinking and talking and encouraging someone, or, you know, it all adds up and creates new ripple effects that go far beyond you. And so, like, being in this mode of improving and growing, it's just, yeah, like you said, you get more out of life while you inspire others along the way.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that you and I both, you know, long before we knew each other, that's just the way we live and think. So, you know, mm-hmm. merging our lives together in that kind of a, you know, self-improvement that we've always felt, it works.
If anything,
hopefully we've inspired that in our kids. And I think we have. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Sounds like it. If anything, like realizing that there's no finish line in terms of, like, I'll never get to the end of learning. I'll never get to the end right. of being good at this. I'll never be as good as some people at this. Like, it liberates you from not having to make that the goal, or like not having to measure yourself against some arbitrary standard, and just be more into the thing that you're doing. And that's where it all is, I think.
Yeah. I'm more like, oh, I'm never going to be able to read all the books that I want to read. I'll never be able to write all the scripts that I want to write, because life is finite, but
you'll never be able to do all the taxes in the world.
Oh my gosh. Please
Mom's been immersed in taxes for 3 days, and lawyers and I know that's one thing about our relationship, honey, that I want to acknowledge for everybody in front of the world. It's just not fair, is that I get to go play and do all the fun stuff, and you do taxes.
I do the non-fun stuff,
which wasn't always the case. Before I met you, I did my own taxes.
Yeah, I think this was part of your plan. You showed me QuickBooks, because I used to do it all paper, you know, pen and paper, old school. And you were like, oh no, use Quicken. And so then I used Quicken, and then we incorporated, which I did our incorporation. And then,
well, you work for attorneys, so you have the inside.
Yeah. I've done it all since then.
There you go. I got kicked off a golf course.
What?
Yeah.
What? Wait. Can we both guess what goodness. For?
Oh. Yes, you can guess what for.
Okay.
This will be fun.
Wait, what type of a golf course or a frisbee golf course?
Oh, no, a real golf course.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, sir. We need you to leave right now.
Oh, no.
That's kind of how it all ended up.
Okay.
You'll get it.
For filming a TikTok.
Oh, no, but close.
I would say you probably broke into the golf course to film a video when it wasn't open yet. Because that may or may not have happened in the past with a park.
In the past 3 days, yes.
Oh my
God. I was filming a weekly video.
I win.
Which my weekly coaching video, which I always do at the first light of day, as you know. I always actually start in the dark. I shoot it when I go and I look at it and I go, nope, I can't see me yet. Gotta wait a few minutes.
Oh my God.
Until I'm bright enough. And then I get enough light and then I do it.
Because he's worried he's going to miss that golden hour. And so he gets there before it's light.
Mm-hmm. And so I was at Lake, I went up to Lake Lanier Islands this past Saturday. And I thought, I want to go for like kind of a more of a resort experience with this video. And so I'm driving in and I just went to the conference center and lodge. And as I'm driving in, I'm like watching the light. Oh, and it's starting to get bright. And I was like, oh boy, I got to get out there. And so, and I'm looking at where the light's coming up and like, there's the sailboats, but if I stand there, I'm going to be backlit. And it's like, all this isn't working. And I keep going and I'm driving. I'm trying to find my location. And I pass the golf course, the Legends Golf Course at Legacy Lodge at Lake Lanier Islands. And I know that golf course. I've been on that golf course. And so I circle back into that golf course. And of course it's early, there's nobody around. And there is like a little cul-de-sac area. And there was a sign that said, golfers only, don't cross this side. Something like that. I thought maybe, you know, I'm a golfer. and I wasn't particularly, golfing this particular day. Yeah, but I know the etiquette. I'm not going to walk on the greens and make like messes. So anyway, so I walk over. Perfect. I get some sunrise photos. I get this. And now leaf blowers start, and I had to kind of negotiate all that, but I got a couple shots in, and then sure enough, this truck comes up behind me. Andy says, what are you doing, sir? And I said, I'm just shooting a quick video. And he said, oh.
No, you're not.
Okay. And he left, but then he pulled across the fairway and went up on top of the hill and he circled around to kind of watch me. And you know, these videos are like six different shots, six different setups, see, you know, and different things like this. And so I film one and then I film another and I'm going to film like a third setup there. And he comes back down and he's like, "Okay, sir, we need you to go." He's like,
"You're not very entertaining."
He's like, "This is."
Go.
And I felt like the pressure of the moment, it wasn't working anyway. So I went up to the lodge and I finished the video up there. But I did get some good shots on the golf course as well. So,
well, that's not nearly as bad as I thought you were going to say.
I know.
You had to run from them and they were coming to get you. Stop, drop, and roll, sir.
I mean, and it did severely limit like what I would have done. Because if I wasn't getting caught, I would have been all over the rocks and down by the water and like all kinds of stuff. But anyway, you'll see that. If you look closely in the third shot of that particular video, you'll see the white truck up above me. It's called false positives.
Okay.
False positives. The whole notion is sometimes the things in life we think are positive are really not.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And so I go into two examples, positive delusion and toxic positivity.
Ooh.
And positive delusion is when you're thinking like what I'm doing is good for me when I'm, you know, cause it's getting you through the experience, but ultimately, you know, it's going to harm you or you're indulging someone else's, you know, desire. Ideas about what what's good for them when you know it's not. That's like positive delusion. And the second is toxic positivity as well. Like when you're so tone deaf to someone's actual struggle and pain and like emotional hardship that you diminish their emotional and their reality. Like, you know, and you're just like, no, it's fine. It's simple. It's easy. And it's like, for that person, it's not easy. It's like, it's like practically impossible at that moment. So that's what the video is about. It's a little ironic that here I'm shooting a video about false positives and toxic positivity and I get kicked off a golf course. Oh, well. Hey, do you have any plans for Halloween?
Oh my gosh. I know of one party right now and it's 20 days away and I'm already hearing about parties.
Tell you about the time that I did the Six Flags Halloween weekend? And played a character called Phineas Flagg.
No.
Okay. This was shortly after I moved to Georgia.
Phineas.
And they had this kind of like old town that was built in as part of Six Flags with like the old storefronts and things like an old Western town. That's where they had the shootouts and that type of thing. And they decided, this was the Halloween weekend, which was a big thing for Six Flags. It still is, but it was much different back then. And they hired me. I was doing shows out there at Six Flags for other things. And so they were like, "Do you want to be a part of this?" And so the idea is I was a elixir salesman in this old town. And I was trying to swindle people out of money by selling this magical elixir. And what I would do is I'd like say, "Look what this does. It solves all your problems." I would take a swig of it and then do a backflip, you know, like, "Wow, amazing energy." And, you know, that kind of thing. And I'd take a swig and then I'd like juggle five things in the air and I'd be like, "Wow, it improves your coordination." And then the sheriff would come over and there was this confrontation between us. "Phineas Flagg, we know you and you get out of this town." And then it escalated. And then eventually the sheriff and his deputies grabbed me, dragged me to the center of the town square and hung me in front of the crowd. And then at first we thought it was a great idea. I had a harness made and so he would do this and it was supposed to be like a dark kind of motif of what's going on. And so that's the thing. In the first show that we did, they actually hung me. I had made my own little blood caplets and I kind of like had blood dripping out of my mouth and then they took me down and they carried me off. And that was it. That was the end of the bit.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's awful.
That's like so we
did
bad.
We did that once and I was like, "Dude, you just hanged me in front of like kids, little kids at Six Flags." And so after
I'm gonna need you to leave.
So the next show, what we did is we worked out this bit where the sheriff, who's a comical guy, Bill Clary.
I knew you worked at Six Flags with him. I was wondering if he was.
And then he would look back, he'd go, "We got you, Phineas." And then I would like perk up and like wave to the audience and acknowledge them and stuff like that. And then he'd look back at me and I'd play dead again. And then we did that. It was kind of like a gag, a bit that went back and forth. And that's how we did it for the rest of the time.
I think I saw a picture of that.
I'm sure my mom has it somewhere.
That's insane.
Yeah.
How did that get approved?
They probably didn't see it.
Bill had a lot of pull at the time. It was the 80s. And he kind of put things together. Oh, it was definitely in the 80s.
Oh, my goodness.
It was like 84. Man. Yeah.
So subscribe anyway to the podcast.
And hear more crazy stories about paparazzi. No, that wasn't paparazzi. That was actually Getty Images. Did they do the thing with the guy with the zoom-in camera that comes in? And you like that?
Like the glam bots? No, those are like at the AMAs.
Okay. Well, when you do one of those, that'll be cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let you know for sure.
Okay. Awesome. Well, this has been an amazing conversation and a lot of fun experiences to share. We would love to hear from you. Go out to wholesomechaos.com and tell us a little about yourself, what you're getting out of the podcast. You can ask a question there, or just you can download some resources to help out your family and yourself. And we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast and share it with friends who might also need some help, some fun, and some encouragement, because we believe in you.
Until next time, I love you guys.
Love you, Maggie. Max.
And we love you. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Max and Dad's wholesome chaos. Max and Dad's wholesome chaos.
Are you guys caught up on House of the Dragon?
Well, your dad fell asleep last night in the last 20 minutes.
I stayed
and watched it, and then I rewound it for him.
I haven't finished the last episode because I've been having to watch it in like 10-minute increments.
Why?
Because we've had people over and we'd have people staying with us, so I couldn't watch it. But I saw an interview today with Millie, the girl who played young Rhaenyra, and the girl who played young Alicent. And somebody asked him like about fame or whatever, and if they had thought about it. And something really cool she said, I loved this. She was like, we try not to think about it too much, because she was talking about the difference between fame, success, and talent. Like, you can be really famous and not very talented. You can be very talented and not very famous, but you can be talented and successful and famous, and like all these things, and how they're just different things. And she said, she was talking about her and her co-star saying that at the end of the day, all they really care about is they want to be great actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was such a good way to put it. Cause I feel that. Whereas like, at the end of the day, I just, like the art and the love of it, I think, is the coolest part, and like the portrayal of just stories. And so, I don't know. I thought that was interesting that you guys would enjoy.
It's like going back to the idea of doing your best work,
at the end of the day, Maggie,
the best you can.
Just be a great actress and keep your clothes on.
Exactly.